I cover the schools in Harvey and Cadham.
Wallace Carr, Gagetown, Burton, Lincoln, Gary, and Sunbury West.
And I look after the area from Dogtown, Boystown, Stanley, and Nashwauk Valley. And we do have a couple of people that are due to illness, and one person that's busy with the city doing a role in something important. So I will get the superintendent to introduce the staff, but thank you once more for being our on-the-road team and coming along to answer all of the questions that people might have that we can't answer.
So I'm Catherine Blaney. I'm the acting superintendent for Anglophone School District West. And then I'll...
I'm Sean Tracy. I'm the Director of Finance Administration.
Hi, I'm Carol Clark Caterini, and I am the Executive Assistant to the Superintendent.
Hank Smith, I'm the Manager of Facilities.
I'm Mark Manderson, I'm the Assistant Transportation Manager for the...
Wayne Nass, I'm Director of Schools for the President.
Tonight, we're going to challenge your eyesight with the PowerPoint. As Kim said, everything's going to be up online on our website, so if you can't see, our apologies, but you will have access to it afterwards. Up on the screen right now is our agenda for this evening. We've had our introductions. We're going to review the policy 409, which is the multi-year school infrastructure planning policy, and that's what sort of dictates our process for a sustainability study. I'm going to present sort of the education side of the information for the deck. Sean's going to do the business side. There's an opportunity for some question and answers, and then we'll talk about what to do next, what's going to happen. So Provincial Policy 409, as I said, tells us what we need to do to present information to the DEC. Our process is already established for us, the provincial policy. 6.4, 6.5, and 6.6 are the relevant clauses in 409 that speak to sustainability. And that policy is also up on the website, so if you're into policy and it makes you excited and you really want to dig into it, then it's there for your pleasure. We have three public meetings for a sustainability study. The first one we're doing tonight, and it's our opportunity as a district to present information to the DEC. And this information is gathered through our school friends that come and answer some questions for us. So I want to thank the school for providing us with some information. And also the district personnel help out quite a bit. So Sean and I depend on them to help us put this PowerPoint together. So that's meeting number one. And it's, again, the district's opportunity to present to the DEC information. Meeting number two, which is November, I want to check my notes, 29th. Again, that meeting will be right in the school. And that's the opportunity for stakeholders to present information to the DEC members. Anything that you feel is relevant for them and that they must be aware of in order to make the best decision, it's an opportunity for you to come in. We'll talk about how you go about doing that at the end of the presentation. And then the final meeting, which will happen on January 24th, and that will be done at FHS in the Tom Morrison Theater. And that is the time when the DEC will make a final decision about one of the three recommendations that were outlined in the letter that you received. Globes, Forest Hill, combine the school, or combine those students and put them in the new school. So that's the third and final option. These public meetings is an opportunity for the district and for stakeholders to ensure that the district education council has all of the information they need to make a great decision on behalf of Liverpool. So again, it's our opportunity as a district to present, and it's opportunity for the stakeholders to present. It's important for them to have as much information as they can to make a good decision. Also laid out in policy 409 is what I need to present to them. So I don't get to pick and choose. Sean doesn't get to pick and choose. It's laid out in policy the information that needs to be presented. And you can see all of those things up on the slide. Enrollment. Now that is a challenge to EyeSight, isn't it? So, the end of it is 2017, and in 2017, enrollment was 348 students. Now, on the far left is 2000, and it had 222 students. So you can see that it's been a steady incline for Liverpool. There is a little dip, technically, in the last 6 years since 2012, population has gone up, enrollment has gone up. This is another way of looking at it. It breaks it down by school or by class, by grade level. And the projection enrollment for August of 2018 was 340, but I realized when I went on today it was 324. Yeah, so a little less than what you were projected, and that's not unusual. Students come and go. So 324 is still quite a great number, and it's 24 less than what it was last year. Still nice. So the quality of education. So currently, the projection for this school year was 21.7 FTE. FTE is full-time equivalent, so that's teachers. So 21.7 teachers. Administration guidance resource, that is all based on a ratio. That's how we come up with those numbers. How do you know how many administrators you get? So administration is one administrator for every 250 students. So in the school this year is 1.4. So that would mean the VP does some classroom teaching. Guidance counselor, I get one guidance counselor for every 502 students. Resource, you get one for every 180 students. And a classroom teacher is based on students, the student enrollment. So maximum class size. Maximum class size is dictated through the collective agreement between the Treasury Board and the New Brunswick Teaching Federation. So it's set in that agreement. There is a difference when you have a combined class. For example, grades 4 to 6, the maximum class size is 28. If you have any kind of combination with those grades in it, anywhere between 4 and 6, then the maximum is 24. This shows the ratio between teacher and students. So the total ratio that we had projected for August was based on an enrollment of 340. We know that's a little less. So it's about 15 students for every teacher in the building, which is a nice ratio. Support staff. So along with classroom teachers, and if you want to, we talked about FTE. So a 0.2 FTE is like a full day teacher, just in case you want. So educational assistants, admin assistant, school librarians and custodians, all support staff that come in, admin assistant and school librarians based on student population, basically. Custodians is a little different. It's the number of classrooms that need to be taken I encourage you to go on. They would have and more detail for you to get an understanding of what actually goes on in the building on a regular basis. Student voice is also a focus within the building. They have student leadership teams at grade 4 to 5, and that leadership team supports the peer helpers, as well as student-led activities, which again is focused on interest for students to be the individuals that lead those and facilitate them with the support of the classroom teacher. Provincial assessment results. So this is assessment results from 2011-2012 up to 2016-17. And on many occasions, the school is either on par or above the district. The results for 2017-2018 have not been released yet. Benefits of the school. One, when speaking to the staff, the biggest benefit they have in the school seems to be the teaching staff. Having a large number of teachers in the building, it is nice to have a variety of skill sets. When you have many teachers, that is a bonus that comes with it. So you have access to knowledgeable staff that can do multiple things. They do research, reaching out to do a variety of different grants, and so they have access, they want more than what they have access to just through the school funding, so they go out and seek that opportunity for themselves and their students, which is a great bonus. They have opportunities outside to learn, so we have a number of them doing their master's degree or seeking out other opportunities for professional learning. As well, we have access in the building to child and youth teams, so the integrated service delivery model, they're quite ingrained and very supportive of the families and students, and they did speak highly of the engaged families and very supportive families that they have for the school. Some of the challenges seem to be around space. So there is a challenge for those partners such as OT, SLPs, APSE coming into the building because every nook and cranny is used for something. Sometimes it's a struggle to find quiet spaces for partners to work with students on an individual basis. And as you can see, there's no gymnasium, there's no stage for productions, whether it's drama, whether it's a Christmas concert, that's certainly a challenge.
So I'm going to talk about the building transportation and finance areas. This school is a one-story wood frame structure. It was built in 1968. It had an upgrade in 1975. There are 14 regular classrooms, 3 modular classrooms currently, there's libraries, and this area is the multi-purpose gym, and there's no cafeteria, and there's no stage. This is the floor plan for this school. So functional capacity is a tool that we use to assess how full a school is or how utilized it is. So this school has a capacity of 392 students and currently has 348, not necessarily 324 we heard earlier. But functional capacity rating is at 88.8%. What does that mean? So as a functional capacity guidelines, 80% would be a fully utilized school, so it would be full. So this school is plus side of that, so it's extra full because it has portables. If it is between 60 and 80, we say that it's optimal utilization. If it's between 30 and 60, it's underutilized. If it's below 30%, then it is underutilized. facilities projects to bring this building up to what a school would look like today if we were going to build one. So ventilation project is in here, classroom upgrades, washroom upgrades, for a total forecasted budget of $1.255 million in here. So this, again, will be online. You'll be able to see what's actually there. So facilities costs to operate this building. You see the number of areas there, electricity, snow plowing, natural gas, cleaning supplies, minor repairs. Pretty consistent costs each year, $82,000 to last year was at $93,000. The major difference there being a few more minor repairs. So in buildings that are a little bit older, we know you're going to have to invest in them every year to keep things running. So assigned budget, so the school-based budget that the school would receive, you can see a number of areas that the school receives funding for. Total budget, $45,000 and change, with the largest budget being for instruction materials. And earlier, Catherine showed you the FTE allotments. So this is the cost. What does it cost to staff this school? So last year it was a little over $2 million. This year it's $2.176 million. So transportation at this school, students in grade 6 to 12 are bused to Bliss Carman Middle School and Frederick High School. The morning bus system has 6 buses coming in, and the afternoon has 3 buses that come in. And if there was a change made to the, say if this building was to close and a new school was built, we wouldn't see any additional transportation being required because the school would be built in this area. Transportation study again. Currently, we have the longest ride in of 34 minutes. The average ride time is 15 minutes. No changes. If we were to build a new school, it would be exactly the same. So just for information purposes. So this is sort of the catchment area. So we have the distance. The average distance is 2.1 kilometers from the school. And the minimum is the next door at 0.1 kilometers. So that is all the business side for this school. But what does a new school look like today if you're building a K-5 school today for 500 students? It would have between 24 and 28 classrooms. There would be an early childhood development room, a music room, a performing arts room. There would be project work areas, 4 resource rooms, special care resource and washrooms, health rooms and multifunction rooms. There would be a double gymnasium and a single gym. So a single gym is, it's about this size. So a double gym would be similar to what you would see up at Bliss Carman. So a 591 square meter gymnasium. So, thanks, transportation. So you would also have a library and seminar room, stage, cafeteria, and kitchen. So some things that are present here today. There would also be offices for guidance and visiting professionals, so that was another challenge. this school and close Forest Hill and build a new school in this area, really there would be no negative impact on business or community. So we just assessed that there's really no change on what there is today. There's actually potential for growth. So staffing wise, what would you have in a school of 500 for teachers? You would have 32 FTE, so 21.7 presently here, 10.4 for sale for combined 32. So, any questions?
Thank you.
Questions from anyone from the public or from the members? Yes, so what happens is the DEC may recommend to the minister that schools be closed and new ones be built, but once we've done that, it's out of our hands where they be placed. We could make recommendations, and there would be limits within the city as to where they could go, because property needs to be owned by, or purchased by, the government, so by the province. So no, we don't. Know where we'd like to have things.
Are you able to say where you would like to recommend where new schools would be?
So one of the things we, you know, when a project like this comes forward, the Department of Education would ask us, you know, where we think the school would go. So actually, this property is quite a big property already. So if they were to ask, I, you know, and had an opportunity to provide that input to them, we would say, said it's up to the government if they want to move somewhere else they can, but there is space available on site here, and it is owned, part of it is owned by the Department of Education, part of it's owned by the city of Frederick. So we did a Southside study, or we did, Ernst & Young did, and in that they identified the possibility for a need for another Southside school. So beyond what we're doing here, they did recommend one. So there is growth on this side of the river, but this project was identified based on rejuvenation